All right, Jehovah, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off top of Memtes. So if you remember again, the Gemara was actually speaking about beforehand the whether or not avoda can be carried out with the left hand. So the Gemara actually brought two rayas to this. One was, and this, remember, this was the kasha that was brought up by Rav Sheshes of Holocha B'Smol. Can the Kohen go ahead after receiving the blood? Can the Kohen go ahead and transport the blood to the Mizbeach in his left hand? So the Gemara brought at first a raya from our Mishnah, where our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol, when going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, carries the ladle of the Ketores in the left hand, and the Machta, the fire pan, in the right hand. And that's a raya that Lamaisa you can go ahead and carry in the left. The Gemara then brought the other case of ultimately where the Kohen goes ahead and brings the right hind leg of the Karban Tamid in his left hand. The Gemara discusses why couldn't necessarily have used one of those cases over the other. So the point the Gemara begins on top of Memtes, Nesvei. The Gemara raises a kasha. So the conclusion, Rabbi Osei, of the Gemara on Memches Amud Beis was that Avoda B'Smol or Holocha B'Smol, carrying the blood in the left hand, should be okay. So Gemara raises a kasha. Nesvei, I'm going to raise a kasha. Zar Rabbi Osei is a non-Kohen. Onin, remember, Onin is a person who has just lost a loved one. Onin, we normally use it to refer to the period between death and burial. Shikr, somebody who's shikr. I will say, and shikr by kahuna also means something a little bit different. Shikr by kahuna doesn't necessarily mean that a person is actively inebriated. It means any coin that consumed a rabias of wine. You cannot drink a rabias of wine while you are on duty. That gives you the halachic status of shikr. Balmum, a coin with a particular set of blemishes. The halacha is bekabbalah ubaholacha ubizriga pasul. If such a kohen did kabbalah, which is receiving of the blood after the animal is shechted, holacha, the transport of the blood from the animal to the mizbeach, zrika, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach, if any of these kohanim with these particular conditions, or the zar, of course, is the non kohen, did any of these avodas, the avoda is pasul. Not only that, the chen yoshev, I will say, if you did any of these avodas while you were sitting, these must all be done standing, the chen smol. And if you did it, or if a Kohen did it with your left hand, his left hand, puzzle, the avoda is puzzle. So we'll say, what do we see from here? We see that avoda with the left hand is puzzle. Therefore, the Gemara says, inachinami tiyufta. This is indeed a refutation. Aye, what about the fact that we said that our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur walks with the ladle of Ketores in his left hand? The answer to that is lo efshar. There's no other way for him to do the avodah. We already dealt with that earlier, because remember, we know, although the other way, lechatchila, we would do it is how we'd have the Kohen Gadol go back and forth twice, right? Bring the machta in his right hand, then go back at him, or whichever one would come first. We'll bring one in the right, then go back out and get the other. But because he can only come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once, therefore it appeared to be that the transporting of the ladle of the Ketores in his left hand is an exception to the rule, simply because there's no other way for him to navigate that particular avoda. But in general, avoda b'smol, any avoda done with the left hand, will be possible. So Gemara says, well, 1 second. So we'll say, so now understand what's just happened over here. Rav Sheshes is the one who raised this question, and Rav Sheshes was the one who seemed to go ahead and, they asked the question of Rav Sheshes, they posed the question to Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes was the one who brought these proofs to say that Lemaisa, doing the avoda with the left hand, should be good. The Gemara now brings a braisa that clearly indicates that doing the avoda with the left hand is not good. Now the Gemara says, but 1 second, Vaha Rav Sheshes hu de Osva. But Rav Sheshes is the one himself who quoted this braisa above. And you're about to say, Rav Sheshes was the one who said that avoda b'smol is possible. If Rav Sheshes is the one who said that avoda b'smol is possible, then how does he answer the question on the base that says that avoda b'smol should be good? Where does Rav Sheshes quote this braisa? Normally Rav Sheshes la amorid Rav Chista, because Rav Sheshes said to one of the amoras, to one of the students in the yeshiva Rav Chista, but imenei Rav Chista, they asked the shayv Rav Chista, holacha b'zar mahu. What is the halacha? Of transporting the blood from, let's say, the animal to the mizbeach through a zar. Now, both said, now, what does this mean? Remember, we've already established when you shecht the animal, so what we call the dama nefesh, the lifeblood spurts out, and you have to collect that in a kli, sharis. You then take that kli sharis from the animal to the mizbeach, and you go ahead and you sprinkle it on the mizbeach. The shaila is, can you transport the blood from the animal to the mizbeach through a non-Kohen. Can that part be done through a non-Kohen? So they asked Rav Chisda this particular Shaila, and what happened? Amarle, Kshira. And Rav Chisda said that indeed it is kosher. Umikra misayani. And the truth is, I have a pasuk to back me up. What's the pasuk? Vayishchatu ha-pesach. Vayizruku ha-kohanim mi-adam. Vahalevim mafshitim. So Rabbi say, quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. And the pasuk says like this. They shechted the korban pesach. The kohanim sprinkled the blood from their hands. Now the way that Rav Chisda is understanding this phrase is the following. The kohanim took the blood from their hands. Their according to Rav Chisda is non-kohanim. Now bepashas probably means levim. They took the blood from the hands of the levim and they sprinkled that blood. So Rav Chisda says, what do you see? And the levim are busy skinning the animals. So we'll say, so according to Rav Chisda, what do you see from here? You see from here that the levim were holding the blood that was in the klisharis. Rav Chisda is therefore using this to say that a non-kohen in fact can take the blood that was collected in the klisharis by the kohen after the animal was shechted, and a non-kohen could transport that blood from the animal ultimately to the mizbeach, hand it to the kohen, and let the kohen do the zrika right there. That's Rav Chisda's raya. So the Gemara says, most of Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes raises the kashin. He says, Zar va'onin b'shikru ba'almum b'kavala ba'alocha b'zrika pasal. Yet Rav Sheshes quotes the brisa that says that a zar, a non-kohen, an onin, a shikr, a drunk, a ba'almum, blemish, can't do kabbalah, holacha, a zrika, and if they did it, it's pasal. So we'll say, so Rav Sheshes brings a brisa that says, Rav Chisda, you're wrong. Because the brisa explicitly says that by holacha, by the transport of the blood from the animal to the mizbeach, a non-kohen can't do it. Furthermore, v'chein yoshev, v'chein small pasul. Furthermore, if Sheshes quotes that brisa in its entirety, that so too, if a kohen does any of these things while sitting, or does any of these things with his left hand, the avodah will be pasul as well. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see Rav Sheshes himself quoting this brisa that tells us that what? That avodah done with the left hand is invalid. So now we have an obvious kasha, which is that why is it then when they asked Rav Sheshes this very question, can you transport the blood with your left hand? Can a Kohen transport the blood with his left hand? They asked him this question on Chesam Adays, and he brings a raya to say that it should be mutter. But how could Rav Sheshes say that it's mutter when Rav Sheshes himself is on record as quoting the Braisa, saying that it's usser? To which the Gemara says, oh, very simple, basar deshama hadar osva. I will say, because it's all just a question of chronology. You see, this interaction that we just read about came after the last exchange on Memches Lebeis. Meaning, originally, Rav Sheshes thought that what? Rav Sheshes thought that avodah done with the left hand should be good. That's what he thought originally. Then he was disproven. Then he was disproved. Right? Ultimately, again, they showed him he was wrong. Oh, and this exchange with Rav Chisda, the Gemara says, occurred after Rav Sheshes knew that he was wrong. So after he knew that he was wrong, he understood that avodah cannot be done with the left hand. Okay. To which the Gemara said, 1 second, Rav Chisda krakhamer. But 1 second, Rav Chisda, Rav Osai, remember, brings a pasuk. Going back now, forgetting about left for just a moment. The exchange between Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes was centered on whether or not a non-kohen could transport the blood from the animal to the mizbeach. And Rav Chisda quoted a pasuk from Dirayam that seemed to support the fact that you can. So what do you do with the fact that Rav Chisda is quoting a pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Rav Chisda kra kamar, the avud ma'ase itzdiva. Oh, according to Rav Osai, here's what's clear. From the pasuk, what's clear is that the Levim are holding the blood. Rav Chisda understands that the fact that the Levim are holding the blood means that they transported the blood from the area of the Shechita to the Mizbeach, which is the avodah called holacha. And Rav Chisda, therefore, is using it as a raya that even an non-kohen could do holacha. To which the Gemara will respond, no, I know what the pasuk means. All the pasuk says is that the Levim were holding the blood. So what did they act? They did a masa itzdiva. So itzdiva is a stand or a platform. In other words, what is the Gemara answering? The Levim were holding the blood, but you know what happened? It was the kohen who did the holacha. The kohen who actually transported the blood from the area of the Shechita to the Mizbeach. And what did he do? He asked the Levi to hold it. He asked Levi to hold it. Stay in place, don't move, and hold it. Act as a stand. That's mutter. Why is that mutter? Because that's not Navoda. the avod is halacha. So therefore, the Gemara says even Rav Chista's pasuk is not a raya that halacha could be done by a zar, because the levim were most probably just standing still in place, acted as a stand, and that everybody would agree is okay. Boi Rav Papa. I'll say Papa is an avikasha. Chafan chaveiro v'nasan l'soch chafnav mahu. That's another interesting shaila. What happens? So imagine the following scene. We'll call Aaron the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol is getting ready for the avod. But what happens? The scan goes ahead and takes the handful of ketores from the shovel full of ketores that comes from the base up from the Alatinas chamber. And the scan Kohen Gadol takes his handful and empties it into the Kohen Gadol's handful, to the Kohen Gadol's cupped hands. So now again, so Lamaisa again, the Kohen Gadol now has a handful of ketores. But what? But what? He didn't scoop it himself. So what's the, is that valid or not? So the Gemara says, on one hand, on one hand, what does the Torah say? The Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to have a handful of ketores. Does he have a handful of ketores? Yes. O Dilma, so therefore maybe it should be good. O Dilma, on the other hand, v'lokach v'hevi ba'inan v'haleka. On the other hand, the Torah says, v'lokach v'lochafnav. He has to take a handful, which seems to indicate that what? That Lamaisa, again, he has to be the one that actively takes it, and in that case, Haleka, he has not done so. So the Gemara answers, Teku. And Rabosa, again, we'll see this in the Rambam, if we have time at the end of the shir, that ultimately Teku means this is the kind of situation where we would try to avoid it. So meaning, if this happened and the Kohen Gadol did not yet do the Ketores service, we would tell him, put down that Ketores and scoop up your own Ketores. But had he done the Avoda with that Ketores that had been emptied into his hands from another Kohen, the service would be fine. By Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Chafan Umeis, Mahu Sheikonis Achar Bechafinasu. Another interesting case. Says as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, what happens if the Kohen Gadol did his own Chafina? Right? He took his own handful of Ketores. So now remember, we'll say, so now what does he do with this handful of Ketores after he takes it? He empties it into the ladle. So the ladle full of Ketores. Now what happens? Kohen Gadol dies. Now new Kohen Gadol comes on the scene. So the scan, let's say, now becomes the Kohen Gadol. And what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, can he use the Ketores that's already in the ladle? Or does he have to go ahead and take new Ketores? So that's what it means. Maushi Karnis Achar Bechafinasu. Can someone else go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the previous coin's handful? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bo Ure'e Shelas HaRishonim. So Rabbi Chanina says, oh, see, Bo Ure'e Shelas HaRishonim, which we understand to mean right now, that seeing that we are asking the same question that earlier generations have asked. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, L'talmidim, he said to his students, Bo Ure'e Shadora Acharon, Zocheles Chakim Kidoras HaRishonim, Sha'af Ani Hayisi Shol She'ilazu, V'achshav Shol Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Shuhumin HaRishonim. So we'll say, so the way the Gemara is understanding this is like this. Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi is asking the question that if the Kohen Gadol will die after going ahead and measuring out this handful of Kidoras, can the new Kohen Gadol will use the previous Kohen Gadol's handful or not? When Rabbi Chanina hears this question, he says, oh, like Baruch Shekivanti, I never knew. We're asking the same question as earlier generations asked. So the inference from that is, Lememra, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Kashish, Nabosai, the inference from that is what? Is that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina. Because Rabbi Chanina is saying to his students, look, we are studying the same question that earlier generations asked, which would mean that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Chanina. Is that true? So the Gemara says, is that true? V'ham Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Hitir li, excuse me, Rabbi Yoshua, V'ha'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, li hitir Rabbi Chanina, lishtos shachalayim v'shabes. But yet Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said that Rabbi Chanina permitted me to drink cress juice on Shabbos. We'll say cress juice is juice that comes from cress. He permitted me to, we'll say, before you even go on what this means, is what this is talking about. So obviously, if Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is saying that Rabbi Chanina permitted me to do something, what does that indicate? What does that indicate? That Rabbi Chanina is in fact older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, because that's the assumption. If somebody's a greater sage than the other, the Pashas is older than the other. So the Gemara is now going to digress to speak about this for just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why wouldn't you be able to drink cress juice? And I will say, understand, the reason why people would drink cress juice on Shabbos is for refuah purposes. Refuah for medicinal purposes. But the Gemara says, this man, kala ochlin ochel adam lerefuah, v'chala mashkin shosa. So I will say, because remember, the halacha is that Remember, there's rabbinic prohibition against taking medicine on Shabbos. Obviously, it's a much more detailed discussion that we had in the second Shabbos. I'm not going to get into it in full depth right now, but there's one thing that's clear, which is if there is a medicinal remedy that is a regular food that may be also consumed by healthy people, solamice, again, a person who's ill can take it as well. So, you know, a good contemporary example, this is a glass of tea. So I might drink a glass of tea because my throat is sore, so I might be drinking it for medicinal purposes, but because it's what's called ma'acho briyim, because regular people also go ahead and consume it, it doesn't fall under the umbrella of refuah, of medicinal healing on Shabbos. So now you come along, you see Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi said that Rabbi Chanina permitted me to go ahead and drink cress juice on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the chiddush in that? Everybody could drink cress juice on Shabbos because anything that a person normally eats or drinks can be eaten or drunk on Shabbos, even if it's for medicinal purposes, because again, it doesn't look like an act of medicinal healing. It looks like a regular act of consumption. So the Gemara says, oh, no, Ella, Lishchok v'lishtosh chalayim b'shabbos. Oh, no. What Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi was saying is Rabbi Chanina permitted me to actually grind up the cress and to make it into a drink on Shabbos. So we'll say, oh, grinding it up, that's a much bigger deal. Why? Because grinding, tochein, is one of the 39 melachos on Shabbos. See, he permitted me to grind up cress and to go ahead and make juice for myself on Shabbos. So I said, well, what's the case? Heichi dami. So what's the case? If you're in Sakana, so then of course you can go ahead and grind up the cress and make juice from it. And of course, Sakana. V'idaleka Sakanta, Meser Asir. And if there's no Sakana, then what? Then the truth is you're not permitted to grind up the cress to make juice. To which the Gemara says, Li'olam di'ika Sakanta. In reality, there is Sakana. There is Sakana. V'hachi kami boile. So we'll say, if there is Sakana, so what's the Shaila? The Shiloh was like this: Mi masya denechol alayu shabsa, o lo masya velo nechol alayu shabsa. So you know what the kasha is? The kasha was: does cress juice actually do anything? So I'll say, meaning you could be mechal Shabbos for someone who's in a state of sakana, but you could only be mechal Shabbos for something that you know may yield results, right? I'll say you should know it's an interesting discussion contemporary halakha about the use of homeopathic medicine on Shabbos. Because homeopathic medicine is a hotly contested issue within the normative medical community. It's a very interesting shilas about what you can do, what you can't do on Shabbos. So, not our topic, but his point over here is, here you have Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi in a state of sakana, so I need medicine. But what he's asking Rabbi Chanina is, I know I can violate Shabbos for the sake of a cure. The shilas just is, does cress juice do anything? So we'll say, that's what he's asking Rabbi Chanina. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting here. So the Gemara says, and so why is Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi asking Rabbi Chanina? Now we'll say, what the Gemara is actually asking over here is, if you have a medical problem, why are you asking the rabbi? Right? Meaning, why aren't you asking a doctor? So he's interesting, meaning, again, you want to ask about halacha, you can ask the rabbi, but if you want to know if cress juice works or not for medicinal healing, why are you asking Rabbi Chanina? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, Mishum the Baki Berefuosu, because Rabbi Chanina was a Baki. He was a Baki in medicine. He was a Baki in medicine. And therefore, again, that's why the medical shilas came his way also. So the Gemara says, Mishum the Baki Berefuosu. Now, where do we know that? Now, the Gemara goes on a tangent. Where do we know that Rabbi Chanina was a Baki in refuah? So Rabbi Chanina, Me'olam lo sha'alani adam amakas pirda levana v'chaya. No one ever came to me regarding a wound sustained by getting kicked by a white mule and lived. So apparently, I will say, again, we'll see what's in just a moment, but apparently getting kicked by a white mule, I mean, it's good to avoid, you know, getting kicked by mules in general. But apparently, the white one, its blow can be fatal. So Rabbi Chanina said, I never saw someone, essentially what he was saying is, I never saw someone survive a wound from a white mule. So Mar says, what are you talking about? People get kicked by white mules all the time. So what happens? So people get kicked by the white mule and they're fine. So the Gemara says, no, Amos v'chayis. No, what he was saying is that when people sustain this type of injury, they survive, but they often don't heal. The Gemara says, not true. V'alka chazinan demisse. But it's not true, people do heal from this. So the Gemara says, no. Demisse v'sumkan inu. V'chiyuran resh karayo kamirin. He was talking about actually red mules, with white-tipped feet. So Pranitabal said, this type of mule, if you were to get injured by it, ultimately can have very severe repercussions on the individual. So we'll say, the Gemara says, okay, let's get back to business over here. Mikom makom, shmamina, Rabbi Hanina kashish. And we'll say, now what was the whole takeaway of all this? The takeaway of all this is that Rabbi Hanina is older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. That's the takeaway from all this. The fact that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is going to Rabbi Hanina with his shilas indicates Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hanina is older, which then poses a problem because remember when the Gemara introduced the last discussion, and remember what was the last discussion? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi raises a kasha, and the kasha was that if the Kohen Gadol takes his handful, empties into the ladle, and then the Kohen Gadol dies, can the new Kohen Gadol use the handful of the previous Kohen Gadol? And Rabbi Hanina said this, he said, oh, Baruch Shekivanti, we're asking the same kashas of earlier generations, which is seen to indicate that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is older than Rabbi Hanina. But now the Gemara clearly indicates Rabbi Hanina is older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So what's going on over here? El Hachikom. This is what Rabbi Hanina meant to say. She'ela san, ki she'ela shel rishonim. What Rabbi Hanina was saying was that the kashas of the later generations are like our kashas of earlier generations. Meaning, when Rabbi Hanina heard Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's kasha, he was giving Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi a shkoyach. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi shkoyach, because the question that you're asking is what? The same question that I had asked when I was younger, which then again creates the symmetry between our Gemara and the previous Gemara, that indeed Rabbi Hanina is older than Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Umi am Rabbi Hanina. But did Rabbi Hanina really say this? You know, we'll say again, look at Rashi just in a moment. Actually, not yet, I'm sorry. Yeah, Umi Amar Rabbi Chanina Haki, yes. It's actually a little further higher on the page in Rashi. Rabbi Chanina Haki, Mimisap Galei, Inichnas Achar Bechafinos Velos. So we'll say, the Gemara seems to indicate right now that Rabbi Chanina has this same kasha as to whether or not the new Kohen could go ahead and use the handful of Ketores of the now deceased Kohen. So the Gemara asked, did Rabbi Chanina really have that kasha? After all, Vav Rabbi Chanina, Bepar v'lo b'damo shapar. We'll see this sugya in a little bit. Rabbi Chanina says like this: the Torah says that the Kohen has to come bepar with his ox offering. So the Gemara understands where this cow offering. So the Rabbi Chanina dashes bepar v'lo b'damo shapar. He has to come with the par and not with the blood of the par. Now we'll say, what does that mean? What happens if the Kohen Gadol died after shechting his par, but before being able to sprinkle its blood? So the same shaila, can the new Kohen Gadol use the blood of the par shechted by the previous Kohen Gadol, or does he require his own new par? So Rabbi Chanina paskins that the new Kohen Gadol requires his own new par. Why? Because it says bipar velo bedamo shel par. He has to come with his par, which means it has to be his par from the beginning to end, and he can't just use the blood of the previous Kohen's par. So the Gemara says, v'ha'am Rabbi Chanina, Kitores shechafna kodim shchita safar lo asav lo klom. Further, Rabbi Chanina says that if you took the handful of kitores prior to the shchita of the par, meaning you disrupted the normal order of service, then what? The taking of the kitores is a meaningless act. So we'll say, now follow this. So what the Gemara is going to suggest is the following. If Rabbi Chanina holds that you can't do chafina, you can't take the handful of kitores before the shchita of the par, and Rabbi Chanina holds that when the Kohen Gadol dies after his shechita of the par, the new Kohen must come along and shecht the new par, that by definition must mean what? That Rabbi Chanina would not allow the new Kohen to use the handful of Ketores in the previous Kohen. Why? Because again, remember, the taking of the handful of Ketores must come after the shechita of the par. If Rabbi Chanina is going to require a new shechita, or I should say a shechita of a new par, for the new Kohen Gadol, then by definition, what would that necessitate? The taking of a new handful of Ketores. So the Gemara says, remember, the Gemara up until now seemed to indicate that Rabbi Chanina has this kasha. Can the new Kohen Gadol go ahead and use the handful of Ketores of the old Kohen Gadol? But the Gemara says, I don't understand, according to Rabbi Chanina, it's not really a kasha. It's obvious that he cannot. The same way that he'd have to bring a new par, he'd have to bring a handful of Ketores. To which the Gemara says, no. Hachikar, this is what it means to say. Midakami boile. The fact that there is this kasha, meaning what Rabbi Chanina was saying was fine, the fact that there's a kasha as to whether or not the new Kohen Gadol can use the handful of Ketores of the previous Kohen Gadol, then what? Hamichla de kasavar bepar va'afilu b'damo shapar. Now, also, this is very interesting. So now Rabbi Chanina says, the fact that you're asking about can the new Kohen Gadol use the handful of Ketores of the old Kohen Gadol, that presupposes that what? That you assume that he can use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Because also remember, if you hold that he can't use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's par, then what? That means the par service has to be done over again. If the par service has to be done over again, then what else has to be done over again? The Ketores. Why? Because the Ketores always has to come after the par. So if you have to do the par over again, then you have to do the Ketores over again. The fact that you're asking the Kasha, can the new Kohen Gadol use the handful of Ketores of the previous Kohen Gadol, indicates that what? That you obviously hold that you don't have to do the par over again, meaning he used the blood from the previous Kohen Gadol's par, and then the Kash comes up, can he also use the Ketores? However, Ulamai desvira le she'ilosu kishe'ilas rishonim. So the Gemara says, and that's why he's saying your shayla is like the shayla of the Rishonim. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah. So okay, so what's the resolution at the end of the day? So what's the answer? What's the answer? Can, so we'll say what's interesting over here is you see that this shayla ultimately of using the handful of Ketores of the previous Kohen Gadol is not a standalone shayla. It's a shayla that's based on another shayla, which is, can you use the blood? Can you use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol? Obviously, if he hasn't yet done the Ketores, means he hasn't yet sprinkled the blood of the par either. So these two shaylas are intertwined. So my havi Allah. So what's the answer? Our papa says like this. It depends. What does it depend on? I chofein chozer v'chofein chaveiro nichnas b'chafina. So the hamakayim chafina. So we'll say, we're going to see this is another machlokes. What's the other machlokes? We'll say when the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketores, so there's a machlokes as to what he does with it. So, and we'll see this in just a little bit. One opinion says that he has to empty the contents of the ladle back into his hands, and then he places that Ketores onto the fire pan. Remember, when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the fire pan is placed on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Ketores is placed on the coals on the fire pan. The one opinion says he has to empty the Ketores from the ladle back into his hands and put that onto the fire pan. And the other opinion says, no, all he needs to do is what? Take it right from the ladle and put it back onto the fire pan. The verse is like this. If you hold, so remember, now the Gemara wants to know, going back to our basic, so what's the answer? Kohen Gadol dies, leaves over his handful of Ketores. Can the new Kohen Gadol use that handful? Does he have to take his own new handful? The Gemara says, it depends. What does it depend on? If you hold that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol has to take the contents of the ladle and put it back in his hands. Then he can use the handful of the previous Kohen Gadol. Why? Because he'll be in the Kayim taking a handful. Because you will say, what the Gemara is going to seem to be saying now is at some point in time, everybody agrees that the new Kohen Gadol's got to have the Ketores in his hands. So the Gemara says, if he's emptying the contents of the ladle back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay, then Shalom HaYisrael, he's fulfilled his obligation of taking a handful of Ketores, and it works. On the other hand, if he does not have to empty the contents of the ladle back into his hands, then you have a shayla. Why? Because then you can tell that it shouldn't be good. Why? Because at no point in time in the service will the Kohen Gadol have ever taken a handful of Ketores. I would say just the opposite. We'll discuss, by the way, how it's done. That's actually, yeah. So if Lamaisa, they say the opposite. If you say that the Kohen Gadol empties the contents of the ladle back into his hands, then it shouldn't work. You know why? So why? Remember, no two handfuls are exactly the same. Therefore, if you're going to say that the Kohen Gadol has to empty the ladle full of Ketores into his hands, then I would not want him to use the handful of the previous Kohen Gadol. Why? Because it's one of two things is going to happen. Either there's going to be too much Ketores in his hands, or there's going to be what? Yeah. Too little Ketores in his hands. But one thing will be sure, which is it will not exactly measure up to his handful. On the other hand, v'ein chofein v'chozer v'chofein tibaylach. On the other hand, if there's no obligation to place the Ketores back in his hands, then maybe it should be good. Tibaylahu, because that's what I said, this is a more fundamental kasha. Chofein v'chozer v'chofein chozer v'chofein olo is the Rabbosech. Chofein literally means everybody agrees that initially the Kohen Gadol has to take a handful of Ketores and then he empties it into the ladle. So the Shaila is, after he's Chofein, after he initially takes the first handful, is he obligated to be Chozer v'Chofein? Is he obligated to go ahead and put the Ketores back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or can he simply place the Ketores directly onto the Machta, directly onto the fire pan? So the Gemara says, Tashma, quote of Raisa, Kach Haisa Midasa. Kach Haisa Midasa. I also remember, what is the, is actually quoting from our Mishnah. So remember, what did our Mishnah say? This was the measurement. This was the measurement. Remember, what the Mishnah was saying was that when the Kohen Gadol takes a handful of Ketores, the measurement of Ketores is a handful of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, "My love, kishim shemidasav miachutz, kach midasav mibitnim." Is the Mishnah not telling us that the same way this was the measurement on the outside, this has to be the measurement on the inside? Which also is another way of saying what? Another way of saying that he has to go ahead and empty the Ketores back into his hands, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore the Zaraya for Chothein, Chozer v'Chothein. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, no, maybe not. Dilma shimrat alasas mida osa inami shlo yechsav shlo yosir." Maybe not. Maybe all that statement teaches me is that what? That if I wanted to make a kli that is the size of the Kohen Gadol's handful, that I could do that. Or the second possibility is what? That l'maisi, you shouldn't take too much or too little in the handful. So we'll say, the Gemara does not seem to rule definitively over here on this kasha. So we're still, so now what we've seen, by the way, is that this little question of Rabbi Chanina, about whether or not you can go ahead and if Kohen Gadol dies, can the new Kohen Gadol use the handful of Ketores from the previous Kohen Gadol, now has multiple ripple effects. Mm-hmm. What's the multiple ripple effects? Number one, it has a ramification as to whether or not when the Kohen Gadol dies, can the new Kohen Gadol use the dam of the power of the previous Kohen Gadol? Does he have to shech his own new power? And now we see it borders on another machlokus, which is, what are you doing with Kodesh HaKadoshim? Do you go ahead and empty the contents of the ladle back into your hands or not? So now we have three major issues that we have to resolve. We have not yet resolved. Number one, can the new Kohen Gadol use the handful of the Ketores from the previous Kohen Gadol? That's issue number one. Number two, when Kohen Gadol dies, can new Kohen Gadol use the dam of the power of the previous Kohen Gadol? Or does he have to shecht his own new one? And number three, in the Kodesh HaKadosh, does Kohen Gadol empty the Ketores directly onto the coals? Or does he have to empty it back into his hands? Tashma. Then Beis on Beis. Tashma. Kaiser Osman, I'll say this is really interesting. What does he do? Kaiser Osman, I'll say what the Gemara is discussing over here is going with the assumption over here that Lemaisa, the Kohen Gadol, does have to empty the contents of the ladle back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, how does he do this? The Gemara says, Oches es habazach barosh etzbaosav b'yishron b'shinav. He holds literally the handle of the ladle in the tips of his fingers, and some say literally in his teeth. Umaala vagodlo, ad shemagas la bain atsile yadav. Bechozer umachzir la so chafnav. Bechozer umachzir la so chafnav. So I'll say, listen to this. If you take a look on the hand that I gave you, so I have to, for the sake of full disclosure, there's a fundamental dispute as to what the kaf, we're translating it as ladle, what the kaf looked like. The picture I have over here, and I apologize, it's a little bit clear, but I'll show you what we're looking at over here. So that the guy looks like the Lego guy, that's the Kohen Gadol, right? That's the Kohen Gadol, and he's dressed in all white. And if you look to his left, you'll notice that tucked under his arm is a utensil. It looks like a long ladle, right? It's a receptacle with a long handle on the bottom. Now, in this version, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Remember, he'd be holding that ladle in his left hand. So the Shaila now is, how do you get the contents of the ladle into your hands? And we'll say, obviously, remember, this is, you can't drop any of the Ketores. You can't, if you drop part of the Ketores, it invalidates the service. So you can't drop the Ketores. So what happens? Actually, good. So you can't drop any of the Ketores. So what does he do? He keeps it under his left arm, and the Gemara says what he does is, he moves up the Ketores so that the receptacle is opposite his hands. And what he does is, he gently nudges the receptacle and essentially empties it out into his hands. Then, of course, afterwards, he needs to gently place down the kaf, meaning you can't just, like, drop that, right? So he has to, so now it's between his hands. He's got his hands full of the Ketores. And remember, also you understand, when you hold the handful of something, you know, if you think about it, there are natural spaces in your hands. Like your hands don't form a hermetic seal, you know, right over here. There's a space in between your fingers. So the ability to hold on is very difficult. And he's got to place that. Now, the reason I say there's another opinion in this, because you might find, I don't know, this is a picture out of my Gemara, but there's another version, there's another opinion that says that the kaf didn't look like this. In fact, what the kaf looked like, if you can imagine, was like a cup receptacle with two handles on the end. two, it didn't have a long handle, it just had two small handles on the end. And I will say, if you imagine it like that, I have to imagine that this serve is actually a little bit easier, because then what would you do? You would hold the handles, and you would tilt the receptacle into your hands. So instead of taking it from the side like that, you would hold it. I mean, it's still hard, no matter how you shake, which way you go. But you would take the two handles, and you would empty it into your hands like that. So that's what the Gemara is describing over here. And then what would you do? It's pretty amazing if you think about it. And then what would you do? So three lines down. You put it back four lines down. Bitsobra. And I will say, now remember, after that, you now have to put the ketores on the coals. I also understand something also. You have to make sure all of the ketores get on the coals and don't scatter anywhere. Now, why is that also difficult? Because remember, it's heat. Those coals are hot. So obviously, you don't want to burn yourself, but you have to get close enough. Remember, ketores is very fine spices, which means that if you drop it too high up, what will happen? It'll disperse. So according to this version of the Gemara, it's sobra. Sobra means that you pile the ketores onto the coals. Kedei sheyehe ashna shohelavo. I will say, again, the reason you pile it on the coals is why? In order that it'll take a little bit of time for the Kodesh HaKadoshim to fill with smoke. Why do you want a little bit of time until the Kodesh HaKadoshim fills with smoke, I will say? Because the Maisa, again, if it fills with smoke too quickly, the Kohen Gadol is not going to be able to breathe and won't be able to do the rest of the Avodah, the blood applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, he piles the Ketores in a large pile that it takes a little bit of time until it begins to smoke. V'yesh omrim mefazra, others say no, that he actually scatters the Ketores on the coals in order that what? In order that the smoke comes quickly. And I will say, why would you want the smoke to come quickly? Because when I say again, we don't want the Kohen Gadol looking around too much in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, it is viewed as obscured immediately by the smoke of the Ketores. And the Gemara says, V'zohi avod kasha sheba mikdash. And this is the most difficult avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say again, the Kohen Gadol is, you have to understand, first of all, just carrying both of these things, ultimately, again, not spilling anything, getting it into his hands, putting it the right way on the coals, very difficult. So the Gemara says, Zohi Vesulo, this is the most difficult avoda. What about Vaha'ika Malika? What about Malika? Right? So also remember, we actually quoted this Gemara a couple of days earlier, right? The bird offering, ultimately flicking off the head with the thumbnail, that's difficult. Vaha'ika Kamitza, Kamitza is difficult. Ela Zohi Avoda Kashem, Avodas Kashem Mikdash. So also the point of here is what, all right, you're right. I'm not saying it's the hardest one. I'm saying it's among the difficult avodos in the Beis HaMikdash. But I will say, but what's the point for us? What does this price explicitly say? Shmamina, Chofin, V'chozer, V'chofin, Shmamina. Oh, but what do we get from this Rabosai? That in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol does in fact empty the contents of the ladle back into his hands. So meaning Lamais again, he takes a handful outside, and once again the handful is put into his hands inside. Rabosai, using this logic, it would appear, well, we'll see what the ramifications of this are in the previous kashas, because based on what the Gemara said before, you would be tempted to say, based on this, the new Kohen Gadol should not use the handful of the previous Kohen Gadol. Why? Why? Because it's impossible that it's going to be exact, which means that therefore the previous handful will either be too much or too little. But okay, we'll see if that's true or not. But at least what the Gemara proves over here is that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he does in fact take the contents from the ladle and put it back into his hands, and then from his hands, he puts it on the coals. So the Gemara asks another kasha. Iboilehu, shochet umeis, mahu shi kanis achar bidamo. We'll say, let's say the Kohen Gadol shechted the par, and then he died. Can the new Kohen Gadol use the dam of the par of the previous Kohen Gadol or not? So the Gemara says, on one hand, mi arminan bepar va'afidu b'damo shel par, when the Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to come with the par, so maybe par just means the blood of the par. O dilma bepar v'lo b'damo shel par, or maybe when the Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to bring his par, maybe what that means is what? He has to bring his own par from beginning to end. Rabbi Chanina Omer, bepar v'lo b'damo shel par. Rabbi Chanina says, no, what it means, the Kohen Gadol has to come with his par, and not just simply with the dam of another Kohen Gadol's par. Reish Lakish shamar bepar afidu b'damo shel par. Reish Lakish says, no, bepar just means what? He has to do the blood source of the dam of the par, even if what? Even if that par wasn't shechted by him, but was shechted by the previous Kohen Gadol, he could still use the blood. Rabbi Ami amar bepar v'lo b'damo shel par. Rabbi Ami says, he dafka has to have his own par from beginning to end and can't use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Rabbi Yitzchok amar bepar v'afidu b'damo shel par. And Rabbi Yitzchok says, no, bepar even means with the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Eisvei Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Ami posed the kasha to Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi sees Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Nimnin umoshchin yedin limenu. At Shishcha, so we'll say, understand what's happening over here. What's happening over here is the following. The Torah says that the Queen Gadol has to go ahead and bring the par. What the fundamental machlokas is what's the definition of a par? So Rabbi Ami says the definition of a par means a living par. A living par. That the Kohen Gadol must bring his own living par. He has to shecht it and take its blood. And apparently Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, no, even blood of the par has a definition of what? Has definition of par. It's also called par, and therefore, even if the Kohen Gadol died, the new Kohen Gadol could use the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's par and need not bring his own new par. Rabbi Ami asks Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, "Nimnin umoshkin deyimeno achi yishchot." Remember, it's by Karan Pesach. We go back to our Pesachim days. Yeah. What's the halacha? Yeah. The halacha is like Karan Pesach. You have to be part of a chabura. The halacha is you could change your chabura affiliations until when? Until the time that the Karan Pesach is shechted. So says Rabbi Amit Rabbi Yitzchak, V'im Isa, now if it's true that even a dead animal is called an animal, just like remember what is Rabbi Yitzchak saying, that a dead par is also called what? Is also called a par. So too what? V'im Isa, Achiz Rokmi Baile, then therefore what? A dead Karban Pesach should also be called a Karban Pesach, and therefore you should be able to go ahead and switch your Chabura affiliations until the point that the blood is actually sprinkled, to which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam. Shani Hasam, so to which Rabbi Yitzchak responds, Karban Pesach is different. Tchsiv mihios misa, because the pasuk says that you could be part of a chabura mihios misa when it is a se michius se de se, only when it's a living se. So in Achnam, the Gemara says even if that's true that a dead animal is called an animal, Karban Pesach is different because the Torah explicitly says that you could only join a chabura mihios misa when the animal is still alive. Massive Marzutra, I have Marzutra raised the kasha. Ein Poldin, both sides talking about Petach Hamor. Petach Hamor means if you have a firstborn donkey, the halacha is you could redeem it. You could redeem it with a seh, you could redeem it with another animal, or with a lamb, the sheep, but you cannot, and if not, you have to go ahead and break its neck. So the Gemara says, Ein Poldin, you can't redeem a firstborn donkey, lo be'egel, not with a calf, lo be'chaya, chaya is a non-domesticated animal, lo be'shchuta, not with a shechted animal, lo be'trefa, not with an animal that has a fatal issue, lo be'kilayim, not with any animals that are grafted animals, lo be'koi, koi is an example of a grafted animal, ela be'seh, but rather only with a seh. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Now what's interesting is, with the kasha is, that you can't redeem it with an animal that's dead, with a shechted animal. But why not? If we're saying that a dead animal is called what? It's called an animal. We're saying that a dead par is called a par. So you should even be able to redeem the firstborn donkey with a dead animal as well. To which the Gemara answers, Shiny Hasam, no. The difference over there is the Yalif Seh Semi Pesach. There's the Gzer Shava of Seh from Pesach. That teaches you what? Just like Seh by Pesach has to be living, so to Seh by Pidyon Petach Hamor also has to be living. Now, if that's the case, Imala Halan Zachar Tam Uben Shana. Afkan Zachar Tam Uben Shana. So why don't you say this? If that's the case, then maybe just like by Karan Pesach, it has to be within a year and it has to be without blemish, it has to be male. So too, by the redemption of the Petach Hamor, you have to satisfy all these criteria as well. Tamalomar Tifte Tifte Riba. It's Riba. Therefore, again, by Petach Hamor, the Torah used Lashon of Tifte Tifte, a Riboy. You shall redeem, which means what? That you can even use other kinds of animals. E Tifte Tifte Riba, if that's the case, that Tifte Tifte comes to include other things, Afilu Kul Hunami, then maybe you should come to include all other animals. Imkain Se Mai Ahanile. If that's the case, then what does Se come to exclude? So I will say what comes out is the following. So remember, we're still trying to figure out over here a fundamental machlokas as to whether or not you can use the dam. If the Kohen Gadol dies after having shechted his par, can you go ahead and use the blood of that par can the new Kohen Gadol use the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par? And it seems to be the fundamental machlokas is based on how you understand the definition of par. When the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to bring the par, so one school of thought will say par means living par. Therefore, he has to bring his own new par, shecht it, and bring his blood. Whereas the second opinion says, no, par means even what? Even damo shel par. As long as the blood of the previous par is there, that satisfies the criteria of par, which then leads to a fundamental machlokas as is to a living animal, is to a dead animal, does it have the identity of the living animal or not? The Gemara is trying to bring rayas both ways. All right, so this conversation is not finished. The Gemara will continue on Nun Amud Aleph.